shortfalls and little sins, close calls when no one wins. Stand tall but running thin, I'm wearing thin. Oh, why are we keeping score? Cause if you're not laughing, who is laughing now? I've been wondering if we start sinking, could we stand on ground? And through everything we've learned, we've finally come to terms. We are the outsiders.
And now, everyone's favorite autodidactic iconoclast, Drew Marshall.
When I'm driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me. I can't see him, but he talks to me.
I wonder if that guy's made any money from that, because everybody plays that clip.
Is that Tom Cruise saying that? Sounds like Tom Cruise.
No. Play it again, Sam.
When I'm driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me. I can't see him, but he talks to me.
The whole breathy thing, yeah. I can see it.
Are you Cruise?
Yeah, no.
All right.
How do we start the show again? Hey, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for tuning in. We are streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. We've got a little bit of a different start for y'all today. Normally we start with a musician of some sorts, but our musician had, some kind of family thing.
Yeah, like a birth or a marriage or something.
Death. Why did you say death?
Because I didn't want
to
be bad. Yeah, that's no excuse.
So we're going to have the muso like we used to have at the end of the show. Every time I hear end of the show, this is what I think of.
What's that?
This is the end of our show.
I don't remember the rest of it.
No, neither do I. So is that Tiny Talentine? I think it was.
I can look it up.
Yeah. You're going to Google this is the end of our show?
Yes.
That's Tim the Tool. My name's Drew Marshall. Let me tell you what's happening on our show. At around 1:15, it's our WTF segment. That stands for Where's the Faith, before you get your knickers in a knot. And today is Kathy Lane Grossman. She is the Senior National Reporter with Religion News Service. ReligionNews.com. And then at 1:30, a very special guest today, Suzanne Summers.
Yeah!
Yes, you might remember her from such shows as, what was it called again?
Three's Company.
Oh, yeah, Three's Company. there was another one she was in with Man from Atlantis, Patrick Duffy. Day by Day or something like that? You'd think I'd know this, because
Yeah,
I'm interviewing her in 25
research,
minutes.
Yeah. Hopefully she's not listening right now.
Yeah, of course she'd be listening.
Good,
she's also the Las Vegas Female Entertainer of the Year, health and wellness guru. You also might remember her from such apparatuses as the Thigh Master.
Nice.
Remember that, Tim?
I used it all the time.
Yeah.
That's why I can crack walnuts with my butt cheeks.
You know, I just ate.
I know.
I remember the first thing I used was one of those stretchy spring thing with the two handles on either side. There were four long stretchy springs, and you stretch out like you're Mr. Muscle Man,
and then you go back. Yeah,
but guess what got caught in the strings? Your chest hair or your nipples.
Nice.
It was horrible.
Well, yeah, but you learned how to work it out and open it up again quickly.
So that's happening at 1:30. Then at 2 o'clock, LaTanya Christie. She's the author of Take Me to Church. It's a testimony of God's love in spite of horrible life circumstances. Basically, she had this life-altering event that occurred in her preteen years at the hands of a church leader. It left her devastated and disillusioned. And then at 2:30, The Hell of Grenville with Andrew Hale Byrne, is it B-Y-R-N? How do you say that? Byrne? 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 Byrne?
Byrne, baby, Byrne. It's going fun,
oh. And Heather Bakken, not bacon. Although
that's
her
that's
Twitter
the English pronunciation. I'm going to have some back in the videos.
Her Twitter handle is back in bits.
Oh, nice.
See what she did there? See what she did?
Yeah.
Anyway, they were both recently featured, excuse me, in WFI's expose of Grenville Christian College in the Name of God. Grenville Christian College, I was almost sent to. But I was sent to Pickering College instead. Why are you laughing?
Just because it sounds like it was some torture thing.
It was a torture thing.
I was almost sent to Greenville College.
Well, yeah. I ended up going to Pickering College, and Pickering College was the boarding school that was kind of at the low end of the totem pole.
Ah.
People had said to them, well, you can either go to prison or you can go to Pickering College. My last year there burned down.
Was it close to the nuclear plant?
No, it was actually in Newmarket, so it wasn't close at all.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, listen, a couple of incredible stories. These folks experienced some pretty horrific spiritual abuse.
Oh, yeah.
Some people experienced some physical abuse. And all in all, they were associated with this kind of wacky group of Christians down in the United States of America.
Wacky Christians out of the U.S.?
Come on.
That's weird.
Say it isn't so.
No.
And anyway, we're going to get their stories. I was thoroughly engrossed when I watched this W5 episode.
I love that W5. It's been around forever. Were they the ones that used to have the Super Tramp?
Oh, is that them? Or was that... oh, yeah, I remember that now.
It was one of those shows. One of those news... Yeah. Anyways,
do you mind if I continue?
No, go ahead.
Thank you. Larry Alex Taunton, he is the author of The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist.
What is this, a book saying he was actually a Christian, like, you know...
You'll have to stay tuned. See what we did there, little hook?
What is it, the other one they like to say that on his, you know, on his deathbed, Darwin said, you know, he believed in God or something like that. There's always that rumor running around, and or he believed in a creator, something like that. People like to say
they said the same thing about Jerry Falwell.
Did they? See the one packing heat?
No, that's Jerry Falwell Jr.
Oh, okay.
And then at 4 o'clock, it is our Live on the Drew Marshall Show segment devoted solely to the art of music. This week's recording artist is the inimitable Nathan Hiltz. Man, can that boy play.
Dude, and the sound, like, I just love the sound of a jazz guitar. It just sounds so, I don't know, mellow.
The greatest thing for everybody needs to know this. The greatest thing about jazz is if you make a mistake, you just keep going and say, it was jazz.
Oh, yeah. I do that when I sing all the time.
No, that's country. How was your week, Tim? Don't take too long.
Great week.
Good stuff. All right, let's play the clip we've got
depending on whether you're a Jew or a Christian, depending how you say that the week starts. It was Sunday.
Oh.
Liam, my son, who has never, ever played on a winning hockey team in his entire illustrious five-year career, they finally won the championship.
Nice.
Of his league. So,
good job, Liam.
Very excited.
Let's move on to my life. Let's play this speak pipe. So on our website, you can leave us voice messages like this.
Takes a few seconds to kick in.
Okay.
What a wonderful lineup of guests. Continue doing the great work. Stop.
That's sort of oxymoronic. He tells you to continue and then to stop.
I don't know. Don't stop.
Yes.
Don't stop. Anyway,
did you see that video of the old couple trying
to... Excuse me, we're running out of time. We don't have time for you.
Sorry.
Okay? Look at the website. What's it called? The Drew Marshall Show.
Daniel Todd. Great.
Now, let's play this. This is a little clip that I put together for my good friend, Daniel Todd. Daniel has an event coming up tomorrow at the Stampede Ranch in Guelph. It's her final farewell goodbye concert. I think it's at like 5 o'clock.
She quit in the biz?
No, she's moving to Nashville.
I should have paid attention.
So she asked a bunch of people to do a little video. This is the stupid. So let me set this up. I've got sunglasses on so that I'd look like a blind harmonica player, because that's what sunglasses say to me.
Yes.
And then I've got a bobblehead Queen on the left and a bobblehead George Strombolopoulos on the right.
Beautiful.
Here we go.
Only three more sleeps till Danielle Todd's last show. And I'm here to tell you that you gots to go.
Mm.
It's a fundraiser, so pay what you can to help this fine young thing move down to Nashville and sing for Uncle Sam. This is really all the blues I know. So it's time for the Queen and Strombo to go. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock, Stampede Ranch in Guelph, Ontario. Guelph, Ontario. Did Obama ever have to say Guelph, or did he just mess up Mississauga?
He says Guelph every time he drinks Coke too quickly. Guelph.
I'm just going to let you hang on that one right there.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
That is just the most awkward thing you have ever said in your life.
Oh, trust me. There's been worse. Just call Pam.
Megs, have you ever heard anything so ridiculous come out of his mouth? No.
No.
She's talking to the mic like you've got her mic on.
I
do have the mic.
No, you don't. You don't have the right button at the top pushed.
No, I do, because it's submix. It's A. No.
Then put it on A. Oh, okay.
H-E?
H-E? What are you, 80?
Keep talking, Dave.
H-E? All right, listen. Let's get on with the show.
Get off my microphone, you kids.
We've got a great show coming up for you again at 1:30. Suzanne Summers from...
Three's Company.
Three's Company. I can never remember the
name.
Do
you want to look up maybe her IMDb to see what else?
Do you like Mr. Roper or Don Knotts?
Mr. Furley.
Mr. Furley. Which one do you like better?
I never watched the show.
You never? Are you kidding me?
No, partially because my mom wouldn't let me. She wouldn't let us watch Gilligan's Island either.
Well, because it was risque. It was two girls living with a guy.
My mom thought it was just mindless.
Oh.
They raised us on Monty Python, the two Ronnies, and
right.
Fawlty Towers.
It's time for our first guest on the Drew Marshall Show. Joining us for our WTF segment is Kathy Lynn Grossman, senior national reporter with Religion News Service. Kathy, what's going on over there in the 202?
Oh, wow, it's pretty quiet in the 202, although getting snow in April is a little weird.
No, we always get, up here, we always get snow in April.
Jeez.
Always.
You people.
Well, you sent me your weather in honor of the occasion.
What's 202?
Washington.
Oh, the
Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
D.C.
Let's see, I wonder if we should, we've got a few topics to talk about quickly here. One is the Pope, the other one is the Pope, and then I think the last one might be the Pope.
Well, you know, when you put out a 263-page document, there's a lot to say about it. And basically, nobody's 100% thrilled with this. He takes you from front end through the Bible, through the back, talking about the joys and challenges of love and marriage. He even tells men they ought to pick up more domestic chores. However, the door is still firmly shut on LGBT people being seen as people who can have relationships respected by the church.
Mm-hmm.
They're still on the outs. And where he gets to the much-awaited discussion about whether people who divorced and remarried without an annulment can take communion, somewhere deep down in the 263 pages, he basically goes fuzzy. He says...
Is it Mormon fuzzy, or...
Not Mormon
just
fuzzy.
Unclear.
Just sort of fuzzy fuzzy. And so some people are like saying, hey, triumphant, the Pope has basically opened the door for these people to receive communion without an annulment. And it's very hazy in that respect. What he said is he's empowering the priests to guide divorced Catholics who do this to full standing toward the church. But he doesn't set up any procedure. He says, this depends on the culture and the situation, and we have to walk with people with love and mercy. So now you just have to picture yourself. You're in an American parish or a Canadian parish, and essentially you're playing priest roulette. Do you have an old-fashioned Irish priest who is no way going to let you talk about taking communion without having had an annulment?
Right.
Or do you have a young priest from a foreign country, because we have a lot of foreign priests these days, coming from Africa, South America, Asia, whose culture is very different in frame of reference, is perhaps more traditional and rule-bound. Do you have a priest from Steubenville or one of the super ultra-right-wing schools and seminaries that is, no way going, their idea of mercy? As one person said, sometimes, one of the more conservative people, I marked this quote, it was really great, sometimes mercy is not letting people do what they want. It is, in fact, basically slamming the door on them.
Sure, or putting them out of their misery in some ways.
Right, exactly. So you might get the priest who says, boy, this is great, and you might get the priest who says, well, we're going to walk with you with love, but, you still have to get in line.
Yeah. Yeah, or you could luck out and get the priest that gambled $380,000 that was raised for Iraqi refugees.
Well, there is that. However, the New York Times, sorry that we didn't do the same thing, but the New York Times went out and found like six different real Catholics as opposed to people speaking for Catholics and asked them, what do they think about this 263 pages that they hadn't read yet? And one of the women said, look, it's not really going to make a difference. Because, you know, she knows people who are divorced, they use contraception, they had abortions, and they still go to church and take communion. And whether people who don't are welcome back, she said, it's not going to make any difference. If you want to go to church, you'll go to church.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do they know? Like, it's not as though they have abortion scanners at the front of the church, right? Like abortion detectors, metal detectors, or you know, divorce detectors.
A little symbol on your jacket.
Yes.
I know, exactly. And people are walking in the door, and you move to a new parish and you get in the communion line, is somebody going to pull you aside and say, are you supposed to be here?
Well, exactly. And I mean, and priests get moved to new parishes all the time, depending on how they've handled the children at the previous one. So,
oh,
you know.
Drew Marshall.
Sorry. Sorry, that slipped out.
It's a good movie, though.
I know. It's true. Oh, God, it was a great movie. I actually get teary-eyed whenever I see movies that roll the presses. When they hit that button and the presses roll and the headlines come bouncing out, I love that.
Oh, I know. It just a little Twitter happens. So let's talk about Bernie. Can we talk about Bernie, please?
So Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders gets an invitation from the Academy for the Pontifical Academy for the Social Sciences. This is one of those pontifical academies to study something, one of those agencies that does studies, I guess, under the Vatican. There must be a bazillion of them.
So you just said Bernie Sanders was invited to the pass?
Well, yes, something like that.
Right.
And so Bernie, he was invited to this thing, and he's invited to talk about, you know, social justice economics, about which he likes to talk. Endlessly, right? He's supposed to have only 15 minutes. If they can keep him to 15 minutes, good luck to them. But at any rate, he's invited by them. And he announces, hey, I've been invited by the Vatican, and I'm going to go. It's skipping 2 days of the New York campaign, which is really interesting. this sets off a big charge. Who at the Vatican invited him? So the press runs off to Lombardi and Burke, who speak for the Pope's, you know, office, and oh, not us. And then somebody over at the Pontifical Academy who wasn't clued in says, no, it wasn't us. He invited himself. And then voila, the head of the Pontifical Academy says, calm down, everybody. I invited him.
Wow.
So what was interesting to me about this is context, because here in the States, conservatives go, you know, wackadoodle nuts over any Catholic who has been, and any politician who has a pro-choice record being invited to speak at a major Catholic institution. Remember when Obama was invited to speak at Notre Dame a few years ago?
Yeah.
People were doing backflips.
Yep.
Some people. So now there's a medal, the name of it starts with an L, and I can't pronounce it, so I won't even try. But there's this big prestigious medal to Catholic lay people that gets awarded. And Notre Dame announced this year that they were going to award it to the two men from the left and right who were working so hard for peace in the world, Joe Biden and John Boehner, the JBs. And now there is this petition from people of the conservative ilk who are criticizing Notre Dame, professors, et cetera, who are saying, no, this is a terrible thing to give a medal to them because their record on, you know, life or, you know, stepping up hard enough to stop any movement toward contraception or abortion, et cetera, is bad. So they should not be receiving honors from Notre Dame. And here, in the same context, you have the Vatican itself, the Pontifical Council for Social Sciences, doesn't see a problem with having Bernie Sanders. So my question is, of course, did they invite Hillary? Or what's the problem with Hillary?
Yeah.
She's got lots to say about the economy.
Yeah, what's the problem with Hillary? I went to that website the other day.
What
I wonder
whether
Trump will get invited.
No. So,
I
want?
You don't think so, huh?
I would love this guy to get invited. Have you heard of John Fugelsang?
That sounds like John Fugelsang, who designs my shoes.
No. No, John Fugelsang, he's an actor, a TV host, a conservative fellow. He's a social commentator.
Yes.
And Tim, the tool here, my buddy, sent me this little, what is it, a picture?
A meme.
A meme, is that what it is?
It's a meme.
Got to get the kids these days to explain this stuff to me. He says, Mississippi, the poorest state with the highest unemployment, most obesity, second highest homicide rate, worst quality of life, and worst education just passed a law to protect themselves from gays.
I know.
Do you have...
And also, you know who's, you know, apart from the bathroom law, which, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to issue one of those maps that would be like on the cover of the New Yorker that would show you all the states where a significant number of Americans can't pee.
Yes.
You can't pee in Mississippi, you can't pee in North Carolina.
They'll have to take the pee out of Mississippi then.
Take the pee out of Mississippi. That's good, Tim.
That's bad.
That's good.
But what fascinates me is all these laws, under the guise of using the bathroom argument, because these people have never used a unisex bathroom on a plane, right?
Right.
And they've never used one in their own home that was used by their spouse, and presumably of the opposite sex. They've never done that.
Did you just say these people? these people.
These people. Anyway, no. Anyway, so what it really does, though, under that cover, is to bring in all kinds of ways that anybody, based on any kind of religious belief that they want, like they believe in UFOs or whatever, can refuse to serve people based on their religious belief. So you have people saying, okay, no cake for you, no wedding photography for you, no hotel room for you. How far does this go? Yeah. And what are they going to do? How are they going to let people know? Is it going to be you go to sign a contract with a vendor for your wedding, and the contract specifies if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal savior and see him exactly as I do, therefore you cannot have a cake from me because I can't use my artistic expression to participate in your wedding?
No cake for Jew.
Exactly. No cake for Jews, no cake for Mormons. We have a new writer at Religion News Service who's been working for us lately, a young guy who's been running satire for us. And he did a satirical piece last week about how vendors in places like North Carolina or Mississippi could avoid awkward conversations with their unwelcome customers.
Yes.
Like, if you had a wedding dress boutique, you could put a sign on the yard that, you know, one dress, one couple. so the lesbians would get the message and they wouldn't come in.
Although every lesbian wedding I've ever seen still has only had one dress.
Or two pairs of pants.
Or two pairs of pants.
Well,
that's right.
Yeah. You know. Then the rental down the street will have one tux, one wedding. I don't know.
Well, listen, I like the growing pains of our society right now. The fact that it gives me a headache is a moot point. I like the growing pains because I recently watched something that was I've been watching Mad Men. I wait till trendy things become no longer trendy. I just started wearing polo. And so I'm watching Mad Men, and the sexism from back in the day that they're portraying in this show is unbelievable. And I think, man, have we ever come a long way? I mean, even the kids were running around in the car without a seatbelt, and the pregnant women were smoking and
drinking.
Oh yeah, it was
like
just
my mom did.
So, well, that does explain to you. So I like the stretch marks of our society.
Ooh, nice.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. It's a two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, it's like
two
birth.
Two steps forward, one step back.
Yep.
So, at least you know, we're moving. Right. We no longer have signs at the water fountains, which I'm old enough to grow up with, that said white and black.
Sure.
Colored and white.
And cooties.
But now we're going to have straight and gay. What are we going to have on the signs?
I don't know.
You know, you're not welcome here? So we've changed who's not welcome.
Well, okay. I'm just looking at the clock. We've got to move along here and make room for someone more important than you. Oh,
that's a long list.
That's horrible. But I just want to let you know one final thing here. Kathy Lynn Grossman, senior national reporter with Religion News Service, religionnews.com. That's who we've been chatting with. Kathy, you just mentioned being welcome, and I want to let you know that you, after Mr. Trump becomes president, are more than welcome to move to my country.
What city do you recommend? Yours, right?
No, because it's a financial boondoggle here in the Toronto area.
Well, I am going to make my first visit to Vancouver in May.
Well,
I'm very excited.
That's where you go. Starbucks and pot on every corner.
Nice.
Yep.
Ooh.
You can get high and low at the same time. Listen, so good to chat with you, Kathy. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it, and I wish you the best weekend you've ever had in your life.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Kathy Lynn Grossman. I just like saying your name. You know how many religion reporters have three names?
All the ladies have three names. Well, the vast majority of them.
We need it.
We told one that she had to add a name. I remember that.
That's right. Please add a name. I could be a religion reporter. Drew Grant Marshall.
I can't. I've got four.
Okay. Short break. When we come back, Suzanne Summers. You might remember her from Three's Company.
Step by Step.
Is it Step by Step?
Yes,
did you look it up?
I did.
I thought it was. Just wasn't sure.
She was also in American Graffiti. That was a...
You just wrecked one of my secret points.
Sorry.
Stop doing that. You're stepping all over my material.
I think she was in Dirty Harry, too.
Stop it! We'll be right back.